Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, he's and they, she's and gays, welcome back to another episode of the Wandering One podcast brought to you by Wandering One Studios and me, your host, Link Flores. Hello, happy Wednesday to you. Today is Wednesday, March 4th, 2023. Why did I say 2023? Oh, see, here's the thing. It's 2026. I have a little, little tiny bell counter for notifications, and it's right next to the date, and I just kind of swapped them in my brain. No, you didn't just go back in time 3 years. It's 2026. Oh, God bless America. And also, God bless you guys for listening. Thank you so much to all of the Patreon supporters, everybody who's listening, sharing. People are starting to come around and say what's up. I really dig it. Thank you so much. It's really been a great It's been a great uptick lately. So thank you guys very, very much. I'm very excited. Just 111 listens over the last week. So how about that? That's actually pretty not bad. So I'm really grateful. Thank you very much. That is definitely helpful. And it's great to see people are sometimes banking episodes and then listening to them all together, like, you know, back to back. So thank you if you're doing that. Thank you if you're listening every week, week to week. That also makes a huge difference. So yeah, you know the deal, patreon.com/wanderingonestudios. I actually have some stuff coming for you, like for real this time. I have a bank of photos that I'm going to be dropping, teasing an upcoming project, and I also have two episodes that are planned. Now the idea, I'm scripted actually, because I wanted to talk about a couple of things in media, as well as do a dream theater where I talk about random dreams and stuff that I've had over, you know, the last week or the last couple of weeks or months or so. And so I've got those actually kind of scripted out. And the plan is, once I get through the crazy first half of the weekend, to take all day Sunday and just record those and start to bank them so I can batch episodes. So they'll come out on a semi-regular basis. I'm going to try to get at least two a month from now on. So I'm going to put two out and I'm going to see if I can get those to, you know, release every other week. Or like I said, at least twice a month. And this way, people who are spending their $3 over on Patreon will have some extra content to look forward to. Those would be, like I said, usually way more genre specific as far as the topic's concerned. It'll be drilled into a certain topic or theme as opposed to this rambling mess that you're about to listen to right now. But I thank you very much for listening anyway. And in other news, I will be back to streaming. Originally, I had intended to be back on Monday, the second, but, yeah, man, I'll tell you, like, when I get into drawing and stuff like that, I'll just be gone for hours, but it's the getting into it part that's really been struggling, I've been struggling with, as far as motivation's concerned. So, but the other day I got into it and I'm just hammering away for hours, and, the same thing is probably going to happen again today, tomorrow, and, I would say a good chunk of Friday too. There's some projects, like again, there's a project I'm working on, and there's a part of that is going, is one of the reasons why I'm putting the extra work in, and I need to. I've been kind of denying myself just because, you know, you let life get in the way, and you just start to stagnate, and I gotta stop doing that. Like, you know, no matter what the fuck else happens in the world, like if you stop moving, you die. You know. It's like you kind of think about it like the, I'll go right into it. The idea of, you know, the reason why fish keep swimming is because water has to keep passing over their gills. I mean, not every fish has the ability to like flap their gills and take in enough oxygen to live. I think it was like sharks in particular. Like they don't have that ability to flex their gills like some other fish. So they have to keep swimming or they basically suffocate, you know, which is, sounds like a horrible life. But, I mean, I think it's kind of like there's a little bit of a lesson in there, too. I talked about this a long time ago with a couple of friends of mine. And I said the one thing, you know, we had watched The Matrix and we were talking about that whole speech that, you know, Agent Smith gives to Morpheus about how humans are a virus. And part of the reason that humanity is stagnating is because we've let the computers do our thinking for us. That actually, I was like, I really agree with that way back then, still do now. But I also think that like part of what makes life so cool and so beautiful is its dynamism. the ability to change and to do new things and to try new experiences, you know, the more I find that I get stagnant, the more unhappy I become. I've noticed that across my entire life. Like, I think it's also one of the reasons why I traveled so much, especially in my, late teens into my early 30s. I never really cared much for, the idea of just putting down roots. Like, I don't hate the idea of having a home base. That's different than, literally growing roots. Like, I would like to have a place to return home to, but I want to have adventures and go see and do shit. And I absolutely despise being stuck in the house. It might be one of the reasons why I actually don't mind. I mean, no one loves going shopping for groceries and running errands and shit like that. But it's one of the reasons I don't mind it is because it gets me out of fucking house. I mean, I hate the idea of just being stuck in the house all the time. It drives me crazy. The quarantine was probably one of the single most traumatic things I've experienced that didn't involve either a relationship or physical violence. Like, being stuck in the house on purpose was maddening. And I know that's not a unique or particularly relevant, revelatory thing to say. Most people don't want to just be stuck indoors. You know what I mean? There's a handful of people who don't mind it. But I think if you really dig down into it, a lot of people get more comfortable with comfort. And that also leans itself into apathy. And then before long, you know what I mean? You can't do shit anymore. I think that's one of the reasons why, it's funny to me that, I have a lot of friends who are in their, 30s. And they're like, oh my God, my back hurts. And I've got sciatica and this, that, and the other. I'm like, sucks to be you. I would get up and go walk, you know? Oh, my joints are so stiff. You're 32. You know what I mean? How are you fucking so decrepit? I'm almost 50. I don't have nearly the problems you got. So maybe I can't eat cheese and bread. No, you can't eat cheese and bread. I'm like, bitch, you can't walk. You know what I mean? I can walk my way to a salad. If you stuck here with the only things you can eat, you die. That's just crazy to me. But that's I think that part of the thing is just being stagnant drives me crazy. You know? There's so much, there's such an amazing world that's out there. I want to see as much of it as I possibly can. And so maybe I can only see the world that's just beyond my, my front door into my city. But that's more than just sitting in my house, you know? People are like, oh, I can use the internet. It is not the same. And there's no way you could convince me otherwise. You know, there's too many people out there. That's the whole point of fucking life. You know what I mean? That drives me crazy too. It's I don't want to, I can't understand the idea of being antisocial, period. And I actually had a podcast called The Antisocial Experiment where I was kind of lampooning the idea of people drawing within to themselves and how we've lost touch of one another as a society. And then that was over a decade and a half ago. And I still see the ripple effects of that today, you know? I notice it myself. If I'm sitting in the house bored all the time, nothing gets done. I have no desire to draw, no desire to create, no desire to do anything. I like being out and seeing the sunshine. I like being out even when it's raining, you know, just experiencing the world. And it feeds my brain, gives me ideas, keeps me moving. Literally keeps my body alive. You know, it's not like I have a weight bench or anything like that, or a gym membership, or, you know, we have a heavy bag, but I can't put that shit up because I need weights and any either weights or rebar to keep that thing from flying off of the stand when you kick it or hit it. But, you know, it's not like I have a workout regimen that I could pull up together outside of riding my bike and doing calisthenics. That's about it. So sometimes it's really nice to just be able to get out. And when you get out, you get to see stuff, you experience things. I'll walk into a bookstore sometimes. If I'm in the middle of doing errands, and let's say I can't make it out to my local bookstores or whatever, I'll sometimes swing by the book section of a Walmart and just flip through some stuff, you know what I mean? Or I'll cruise the media aisle and see oh, there's a new album out by so-and-so. I didn't even know they were still making records or whatever. Or, you know, I mean, just going through the card aisle sometimes. Just something funny will hit me and I'm like, you know what? I could make a joke about that, or I could write a story about that, or, you know, I could incorporate that in a character design I'm working on. Something, you know? I think that's one of the reasons why this project has taken so long, is just it just felt uninspired. And a big part of that is just not going anywhere. I mean, like, the pandemic killed a lot of it, and then everything got super fucking expensive and everybody was crazy. So it was like, well, not only do I not want to go places because I know people are a bunch of crazy germ monkeys who don't want to take vaccines, but now it's so expensive to do anything. It's like, well, people are like, well, why would you? I'm like, well, I would. You know, I absolutely would. If it wasn't going to cost me like a, you know, both of my kidneys to go and do it, yeah, it'd be great. And I don't think things are getting much better, by the way. So I'm trying to make sure I make some excursions out and about to do stuff so I don't get bored and just, you know, want to blow my own head off or something. Because, I mean, I also don't want to, I'm tired. You know what I mean? I'm tired a lot. I noticed that's like a, one of those signs they say of depression is just like sleeping a lot and like lack of motivation. I'm like, I don't want to slip into that. You know what I mean? I want to catch this and head it off at the pass. Do something with my fucking life. So one of the reasons why it's taken a little while to get that, you know, get back to streaming is just because it does require me to sit inside again. And I'm like, I'm kind of not digging that. You know what I mean? I mean, I will be going back to streaming because I love doing that. But, you know, it's just the thought of just sitting in one spot. I'm like, ah, we just got over this stuff. But it doesn't really lend itself to like that kind of wild spirit. Doesn't really lend itself. You would think it doesn't lend itself to like sitting down and being creative, but actually I was way more creative when I was out and about doing stuff. I would take my notepad with me, get somewhere, sit there and draw. You know, I'd go to a coffee shop, or I'd just take a walk and go to a park, or I'd just be on the train. Sometimes I'll just take the train and have anywhere to go. I'm like, I'll just stop by this store. I'll go maybe visit this friend if they're around. And I just take the train and just ride around the city, and I would just draw while I was on the train. I got a lot more done when I had a lot less to do. I had a lot more done when I had a lot more to do, like real actual stuff, you know. It's crazy. It's just one of the things I was thinking of, because I was running to groceries the other day and I was like, you know what, I actually don't like, I don't think anybody really likes doing this kind of chore, but I actually don't mind it because I get out and I get to see things and people, and it was pretty cool. I mean, groceries being, you know, expensive as fuck is not great, but that's, you know, our economy's doing great, y'all. That was hilarious. I keep hearing that, but the economy's getting better. The Dow's over 50,000. What the fuck? So are groceries. Groceries are over 50,000 if you go outside. Check it out sometime. It's expensive as hell. It's just weird. What a bunch of weird ass people. We'll get to that later. You know, I was thinking about, we went to go, oh my God, I went to go and watch A Quiet Place 2 with my buddy, you know, my man Derek. Try to catch a movie every week just to hang out and chill, and just like get to talk with one another and just do something a little different. Sometimes we'll go out to see a movie. Sometimes we'll just, you know, look one up on Netflix or Amazon or whatever. And sometimes we just miss it because, you know, life happens and things get in the way. But last time we were hanging out, we watched A Quiet Place 2. And I'm going to go ahead and just, you know what, let me grab a pen. I'm going to ping this as a spoiler warning for anybody. So you have a minute or two to get away from your laptop, or pause your phone, or skip forward. And then I'll mark that in the notes so you can know how long to take, okay? Give me a second here. So for those of you who've seen it, this isn't a spoiler, but in case you haven't seen A Quiet Place 2 and you've been meaning to get around to it, it kind of hops back and forth a little bit of Tarantino-esque storytelling, where it hops back to like the before times, before The Quiet Place, the first film. Like a little bit of that, and then a little bit of, you know, what's happened so far, what the story is thus far. And it's pretty nutty. When you're watching, you're like, wait, what is happening? And one of the things I found out, I was watching something else too. One of my friends was playing another game, and writers really don't write believable people of color into games and media. I mean, it's a thing that we all know, like the whole trope of the black guy dies first kind of thing. Yeah, you've heard it a million times. You've seen it a million times. It's not unfamiliar. But they don't even write them like marginally realistic. You know what I mean? Like, okay, so in A Quiet Place 2, there's a scene where there's like a whole segment where the aliens manage to find this one last bastion of humanity. And it's because they end up, you know, drifting over there. And when they do, they're like basically one of like the, I guess you call him a protagonist, sort of. Like he's one of the supporting characters in Jaiman Hansu, is like raising this family, basically. It's like his kid, and I think it's like the kid of somebody he knew who died. And he's like raising that kid as well, as his own son. But then, when the monsters attack, they put the boys in the closet. You've seen this on the trailer, so that's not the spoiler. You've seen them put the boys in the closet and gesture to them to be quiet, right? Well, as it happens, at one point, they get so terrorized or whatever that he just forgets the kids and takes off. The boys are in a closet somewhere on the island with monsters tearing at us all over the place and killing, well, at least one, killing everybody in sight. And he just left them kids in the fucking house. And I'm like, I don't know about you. I don't know too many black people, men, women, whomever, who would have two kids they're responsible for and just leave them. Forget all about them too. And then when they get to like the safe space, they're like, oh shit, I have to go get my family. And they turn, and as soon as he turns around, after I'm like, as soon as he said that shit, I'm like, he did. He should have, if he was going to leave them kids in the first place, he should have just written them off and be like, I can always make more children. But instead, as soon as he thought about his family, hataka, and he gets got. I'm like, fuck, you're almost out, bro. You're almost out. And it really kind of bothered me because like, yeah, that was like, that's so highly unrealistic to just be like, I'm out this bitch. And you're saving yourself and you're like, oh shit, I got kids. It just seems so woefully uncharacteristic. But you see that a lot in just, you know, media in general, though, you know, like just black people doing stupid shit that black people wouldn't do. Latinos, I'll be honest with you. After seeing Latinos for Trump and seeing the way some of my people react to like horror movies, I kind of get why sometimes Latinos don't survive. Like, especially for Mexicans, we have a whole festival called Dia de los Muertos where you're basically like, you know, it's designed to acknowledge and revere the spirits of those loved ones who've passed on and stuff like that. But I think that a lot of Latinos have leaned into it a little bit more and made it a little bit more Halloween-esque, where like, you know, Halloween is basically like more of like a festival of like, the original intention was to dress up in these masks with horrific creatures and stuff like that to kind of scare the evil spirits away, or at least to confuse them so you wouldn't be captured by them or whatever, right? That was the original origin, so to speak. Like it's a little fudging there, but you know, none of us were alive a couple thousand years ago or whatever when this first came up. So you'll forgive me if I'm not completely well-versed on the history of Halloween. But it wasn't originally just like all spooks and goblins and bloody, scary, horror, gory stuff, you know? But I think a lot of my people have leaned into that a lot more. Like almost every Latino person I know has like a big collection of like horror movie memorabilia. They lean in when like, you know, especially like the classic slasher film, you know, film monsters, of course, I guess of the 80s, Michael Myers, Jason Voorhees, Freddy Krueger, like they lean into that kind of stuff. I've never really understood that. I have seen at least Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street, and Halloween. Just as basically like cultural reference more than anything else. There's nothing about those films, especially as they got, you know, progressively into like, you know, Jason, like Friday the 13th, Jason versus Freddy, Jason X, like all this shit. Like as they got further and further along in the franchise and they got a little longer in the tooth, they started getting just relying on more like gore and like horrific shit. And I'm like, I've never been really thrilled with that in general. But yeah, that even when they put black people in these movies, like, they don't really make them realistic, you know? They almost always do something stupid. They follow somebody in a place where they would never go. And they get caught doing some, like, really, not to be mean, but just some white people shit. And they're like, why are we doing this? I think there's actually a movie called The Blackening that kind of picks apart those horror tropes. Now, I don't really watch horror movies anymore, so it's not a thing I would pick up necessarily. But just because it was supposed to be also kind of like, it was supposed to be kind of scary, but also kind of lampooning the idea of what would happen if you really put black people into a horror movie. I thought about watching it for that, just as more like research than anything else. Because again, I don't do scary. But the one time I did see a fairly accurate representation of a black dude in a horror movie, I forget which one it is. I think it might have been like Friday the 13th Part 3 or something like that. But in one of the movies, there's a black dude, kind of a hench, you know, 80s fitness guy, black dude, who actually tries to run the fade on Jason Voorhees by boxing with him. It doesn't go well. But that does seem like something a black dude might do. If he ran as far as he could and got cornered, he'd be like, all right, fine, then knuckle up, motherfucker. And it's like, all right, shit. That's pretty accurate. That's probably what would happen. But most writers don't do black folks and brown people in general, but like just minorities, and you know, brown and black people in particular, but minorities in general, they don't do a really good job of representing us. I don't think even like black directors do a good job of it most of the time, but that's another story. Because I know everybody like, you know, just can't get enough of Jordan Peele. And, you know, God bless him for having a career, I guess. But at the same time, my mom watched one of his movies like, Jordan Peele going to hell. I forget which one it was. I think it might have been that. I think he's like did the show Them or Us. Which one was it? One of them, it's like basically like a black family moves to California. And they like set up shop there, and like the racism that they encounter is part of the horror and the scary shit that happens in the show. I tried watching it, and I think I lasted like 3 or 4 episodes, but the whole time I had to stop like every like 10 minutes because I was getting too freaked out. It took me about 2 days to watch 4 episodes of that show because I was watching it in like, you know, 15 minute intervals with like 2 hour breaks in between. It was just a lot. See, I told you I don't do horror movies and stuff like that. That's why my dreams are so vivid and they're so like off the wall. That's probably why, is because, you know, even in a dream, like I've had psychosomatic dreams before. For those who don't know that term, it's the idea that like when you're, it's like the Matrix, right? Your mind makes your dreams real. So like I've woken up with like bruises and what looks like cuts and scratches, but it's really just like if in the dream I got a cut or a scratch, I would look at the place where I got the cut or a scratch and there'd be an actual physical mark, like a big purple mark on my hand or my arm or something like that. That was when I was watching horror movies quite a bit back in the day. And I stopped doing that shit right away. And those dreams they ceased almost immediately. So I don't really put that in my brain. You know what I mean? The stuff you put in there, it comes back out eventually. And it shapes you. It changes you. But I also do have wild dreams where I'll dream about somebody that I know. And usually if that happens, it's like, it used to be if I dream about somebody I knew, something bad had happened. But now it's more like something is happening. It's not necessarily bad, but they need some encouragement or whatever. So I've actually, on occasion, I've reached out to people, you know, when I'm like, hey, I've had a dream you popped up into. There's no frame of reference or context for how they show up. You know what I mean? They could be like sliding by on a water slide. They could be serving coffee in a restaurant. They could be fighting aliens, you know, or whatever. It doesn't matter. There's no real, no matter what they're doing, there's no meaning behind that. It's just the fact that they show up. So every now and again, somebody will get a message from me like, hey, are you good? I just had this weird dream and you were in it. And they're like, well, what was it about? I'm like, it doesn't matter. I don't even if I told you what it was and you were like, whether you were thrilled about it, weirded out about it, pissed off about it, whatever. It doesn't matter. It's not the context. It's what's the fact that you're in it. Because it'll always be a random. It's never the same thing twice. So it's like I said, there's no way of sticking a pin in it and being like, this is what this means. Just if you showed up, that means saying, talk to that person. Yeah, that's happened before. I don't like it when it's like, it's happened once. I think in the last 2 years. I think the last time that happened would have been a year and a half ago. I don't dream about people I know really in general, so that's not really a big thing. I dreamed about one of my exes once, though, and I haven't talked to her since probably since before I left Chicago. And I was like, I don't really want to bother with her. Let me just look and see what's up with her, right? I think she's in jail. So that might have been what was going on then. So no need to bother with that one. That was crazy. But I did actually end up talking to one other ex-girlfriend probably like 7-8 years ago. And it was bad. It was not a fun interaction because I was just like, I don't even know what really prompted me to do this outside of the fact that like you showed up. And like the more I talked, the more I was like, yeah, I'm not falling for this. Like, I know that you're going through a lot right now, and I hate that for you. You know, times are tough, you know, money, work, family, that kind of stuff. And it was bad. Like, I felt bad because that person was genuinely going through it. But their idea of fixing it was, we should get back together. I'm like, no. You were a nightmare when we were together and things seemed to be going good. So you're going to be even worse now. There's no fucking way. Yeah, I don't like that. Matter of fact, I had a dream about Destiny the other day, which was fucking crazy. Because I don't really play Destiny much anymore. I get it occasionally when the homies want to get together and bang around in some Gambit or Crucible or whatever just for the giggles. I'll be honest, man. I could barely give a shit after a little while just because Bungie's doing so much horrible, horrible work to their game. I'll say work in quotes to their game, and definitely pissing off the community enough that like people are just dropping from the game like flies. And I can't believe it, with all the shit that Bungie's done with Destiny, people are still lining up like lemmings to play Marathon. I can't wait for that to disappoint people, because I'm going to be the first one to be like, I told you so. See, most of the times I hope I'm wrong about stuff like this, but when it comes to Bungie, I really, really want them to fail because they've just been so shitty for so long. And nobody seems to want to call them out on it. That's the other thing that bugs me, is like nobody wants to call them out on their bullshit. But anyway, I had a dream about Destiny, and like they had this thing called Festival of the Lost, which is like their Halloween event. I never really play the Halloween event. It's just, again, scary stuff. I don't do that. Sorry, I had to get some water here. Some water. But in the Halloween event, there's usually like there's this one thing that was, you run through like this long progression of floating islands that are surrounded by this miasma. You have to fight off certain knights, these gigantic like hulking monster creatures. And then at one point, like when you get to the end, it does this really shitty thing where it's like, there's like this long hallway, and if you're not paying attention, it'll get you. And it definitely got me before. But there are sections of the floor that are basically like booby trapped, and they fall in, they fall out from underneath you. And if you step on them, what happens is you fall into this like long tunnel. It's basically like a pit, you know, but it's like just one long tunnel. And there's this giant, invincible, unkillable knight in there that just hacks at you with this huge axe. And it's one of the most terrifying things I've encountered in a video game in recent memory. And the first time it happened to me, I audibly screamed and then dropped the controller. Like it was like that was going to help, right? So I need a little bit of water. My throat was getting a little dry. But anyway, in this dream that I had, those things that got loose. And when they're in the darkness, I guess, for whatever reason, you can, when they're like not completely in light for some reason, you could actually see them. But if you shone a light on them, like they would turn invisible, or like, you know, like the Predator, kind of see-through-ish. So yeah, I was in this particular weird area that my brain cooked up, amalgamated from all the different levels I've seen in Destiny over the years. And yeah, these things are just kind of running around trying to kill every guardian they could get their hands on. And I'm in the middle of trying to escape these things because it's becoming very obvious no matter what we do, we cannot actually kill them for some reason. And just as I'm getting ready to escape, one of these things grabs me and I can't see it. You know what I mean? But I like you can't see it clearly, but you can tell it's there. And it's like kind of hazy and fuzzy and like shimmery outline kind of thing. And it's grabbed me and it's slowly squeezing me to death. And then I hear my name. And as I kind of like coming out of the dream, reality snaps in too hard. And it's my wife like trying to wake me up. And I'm like, and I leap up off the bed. She cusses at me like I'm trying to scare her. I'm sweating my balls off because I literally was trying not to die. I was choking in my sleep. And then it's just to find out the cat fucking threw up. I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to set the whole house on fire. Like, fuck. Fuck. It's one of those things where like, you can't process what you're feeling in the moment because you're still trying to get over what just happened in your dream. So I'm stumbling around like half awake, still heart pounding, still like not fully processing what happened in the dream. And now I've got to be up and way too early for me personally, dealing with fucking cat vomit the very wee hours in the morning. I was like, I feel like, what was his name? Chad Downs. He's like, I need my own apartment. Not to live in, but just to go and reflect after things like this happen. It's just like, fuck. It's like, I just got to get like an attic or like, no, it couldn't be an attic. I'd have to actually get like a house down the street or something like that to do that in. Because it was just crazy because I wasn't mad at anybody or anything. It was just like your emotions are so raw because you're like literally in my brain. I was fighting for my life. And then I get awakened. So I'm terrified already. And then I'm thinking something bad has happened because something bad had happened in my dream. And it's just that the cat threw up. And I'm like, fucking hey, man. It's like, I'm going to have to get her like a room or something where she can do this shit. Like teach her to go there to throw up or something. That would be a neat trick. If I figure out how to do that, instead of the whole idea, build a better mousetrap and the world will be the path to your door. If I find a way to train a cat to puke in a room or in a bucket like they shit in a box, I'll be a billionaire. And it will actually be the first, you know, decent thing a billionaire had done, I would imagine. Ah. Weird, right? It's weird that that actually came out of my brain. That's how my brain works, though. It really is. It does do that.
Oh, my God. Why am I tired all of a sudden?
I'm not really even tired. I think I just need to go outside and sit in the sun for a little while. That'd be cool. Oh, yeah. You guys have seen the news, so you know that the world's on fire. Our government has attacked Iran alongside Israel as co-combatants. So the United States and Israel joined forces to beat up on Iran for no real good reason. Here's the thing. Like they talk about like trying to, we're going to remove their ability to launch a nuclear strike. I'll be quite honest with you. Just because you've seen the history of the Middle East, when they get pressed, they don't really need nukes, dude. I think that you should be way more worried about planes and, you know, subways and boats. Not the ones from Venezuela that you guys keep murdering fishermen on, by the way. I mean, like, you know, any other kind of like a tanker just careening into, can you imagine that? Just something out of a fucking horror movie, just a tanker just careening into Ellis Island. That would be something. But these are the kinds of things that you should be more worried about because those people in this the people in that particular part of the world, where there's a tremendous amount of wealth and culture and diversity, there you have to remember there's also a lot of creativity. So something as, I know it sounds crazy, but something as banal as a nuclear bomb, really not kind of their style, dude. Like, they're gonna, if they wanted to do it, they'd be way more creative. We should be focusing our efforts elsewhere. Like, at home, minding our own fucking business. That's probably the best place to do it. Let's do that first. But I think the biggest thing about it is that they lie so much about everything that they can't even keep straight the lies they've told about what we're supposed to be doing there. First, it was about nuclear weapons. It's just like, it sounded like, you know, Desert Storm, Desert Shield. First, it was about weapons of mass destruction. Weapons of mass destruction. We're going to get rid of weapons of mass destruction. Now, this has been a weapon of mass distraction because Trump's name's in the Epstein files. Trump's being accused of horrific shit. Not the least of which is including the sexual assault of young girls, underage girls. So, of course, instead of having to deal with that, have to come before Congress, like he wanted to drag Hillary and Bill Clinton in front of Congress to answer a bunch of questions about a bunch of shit that didn't really amount to a whole lot of anything. Instead of having to be questioned about that, right? He's like, war, yeah, war, and midterms are coming, shit, what can I do? If I start a war, then I can stop the votes, and we don't have to worry about losing any seats in the Senate or in the House. Let's do that, I can't go to jail, I'm too old, I'm too frail, my neck is brittle, my hands are falling off, my feet are blowing up, help! It's not a very good Trump impression, but that's probably what's going on in his head every day. And so, yeah, this has all just been one huge, you know, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain kind of act. And he got his song and dance people on it, though. They be on it. Pete Hegseth, this is today. Pete Hegseth and Mike Johnson, and I forget the other guy's name. There's another admiral, I think, that was up there with Pete Hegseth, who's the Secretary of Defense. He's not the Secretary of War. I'm not calling him that shit. Fuck him. But they all got up and just basically propagandized the entirety of this distraction tactic. Again, at the expense of brown people. I'm not like we're surprised by that, but yeah. You know, if it didn't work in Minneapolis and then it got two white people killed, let's go across the country. Let's go across the water and fuck some shit up over there and kill brown people for, it'll be mainly them. And so we won't have to worry about the impact of that. And we can say that we're helping somebody, right? Right? That at least that will look like we're doing the right thing until you realize that the average American is not as dumb as you think they are. Granted, this ain't the, you know, brainiest country in the world most of the time, but the average American's a little bit more savvy than that. And they're like, yeah, that's cool. Where's the Epstein files, dude? Come on. Everybody's had to deal with the kid who had, you know, stolen something and was trying to stick it down the back of their pants. Like, I see you putting your hand in your ass crack. Take that out of there. What do you have? You know, like, stop playing with me. I'm going to whoop you even harder if you don't tell me the truth kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like, the more they keep deflecting, that's what's going to end up happening. It's like they're going to pay for it in ways they hadn't anticipated yet. As the lies and deflections and misdirections and distractions become more and more glaringly obvious and stupid, by the way, and dangerous as well, people are going to get really pissed. And it won't be long before somebody takes another crack at him. I'm telling you. I just call it how I see it. You know, this is just why I see the writing on the wall. I'm like, it's not going to be too much longer before somebody's like, that's enough. That's enough. And the reason why I think it's going to happen is because, you know, Congress is ineffectual. Like, the way that we look at constitutional democracy is broken. You know, like I said, these people can go in front of congressional panels, then go on, you know, CNN, Fox, ABC, MSN, Newsmax, One America, wherever they go, and they just lie overtly, directly to the American people. There's no consequences for those actions. There's no ramifications behind them except for the disillusionment and misinformation of the American people. And Congress is toothless, you know. You would think that if somebody had done this, the president declared war without an act of Congress, because Congress is the only one that has those war powers. Go get him. This is the time when they need to be like, all right, that's it. We got a special group, a special branch of the military, the Secret Service, that just deals with when we only activate them whenever some shit like this happens. And then they go in there and they grab the president and they put him in Fort Leavenworth to be tried. Like, there's no longer a president. We can't trust J.D. Vance either, so grab his ass too. Grab Mike Johnson, because he's definitely implicated, because he can't stop lying. It's amazing that he can draw enough breath from as often as he's ball washing Trump to even speak words, but you should have heard him today, boy. Oh man, Mike was in rare form because it was all the Democrats' fault that we're in this mess, and it was Obama's fault. I'm gonna give you a marker about a point about that one too. But it's everybody else's fault except for theirs. Like, Obama hasn't been president for almost a decade. It's time to lay off that shit. I could maybe see you getting up on Joe Biden's ass because you just walked out of that administration's pocket. But, you know, he's not in, his policies aren't having as much of an effect right now as yours are. So shut the fuck up. Because here's the thing. I'm a big proponent of this. You don't get to take any credit if you fail to take any accountability or responsibility. You know what I mean? You can't just be like, I did all this stuff. No, you didn't do shit. You want to take accountability for all the good stuff, but never any of the bad? You want all the praise, but none of the, you know, the punishment? It don't work like that. I mean, it works like that for Congress because they don't do anything. You know what I mean? It's crazy to look around and see this. I mean, think of all the things that have happened recently. I mean, just the fact that we're at war, period, is bananas. Again, from the no war president, no more wars, no more foreign wars as well. Now we've got Kuwaiti shooting down 3 U.S. jets. So, you know, things are going real great with Pete Kegsbreath as the Secretary of Defense. Couldn't begin that, you know, couldn't begin to think about how bad that would be. It's so bad that we're so bad at this. You know what I mean? The United States used to be looked at as a military superpower. It's actually turning into like a Three Stooges show, you know, Three Stooges episode. I mean, between like bombs falling out of the sky onto populaces, blowing up a girls' school, by the way, real good job there. Letting drones and AI pick military targets was one of the accusations I've heard. I have yet to verify that because how do you verify anything with the Department of Defense that lies this readily and this so much always? But yeah, if any of that is true, that's even more terrifying. What's actually kind of scary in all this is that you're so hell-bent on doing war, but you are so bad at it and you're so stupid that you make the dumbest mistakes. You're causing way more damage to our reputation as a country, as a military, let alone you're doing more damage to our reputation than you're doing to the Iranian people or the Iranian regime as a whole. And that's just what it is. And I really hate listening to, you know, regular, quote unquote, legacy media journalists. I'm going to call them journalists in the shortest. They never hold their feet to the fire on this stuff. They're like, well, you know, what do you have to say? What's the one guy said? What do you have to say about the efficacy of these strikes that are happening right now and how it seems like we're not actually making any headway, even though these apparently negotiations have been going on for almost a year by this point? What do you say to, you know, your negotiating tactics if you weren't able to pull off a deal and you had a whole year to do this? They're like, well, just remember that Obama did. No. Obama has been president for almost a decade. Shut your mouth. Answer the question. We're talking about you. What did you do? What do you have to say? What is your part in all of this? And I want to see a journalist do that and just call them out straight to their face. If you deflect anymore, we're going to print this as you're either agreeing with our point of view that you're inept and stupid or reckless or all of the above, or, you know, we're just going to go ahead and run with the idea that, you know, you have no idea what's going on, which is even more dangerous because you can't give us a straight answer. So, you know, we're going to do your thinking for you since it seems like you're not doing enough of it on your own. I would love to see more journalists take that position. Because, I mean, honestly, dude, I don't know that we even need a government if it's going to be this way. Like, I don't know why that, you know, when Congress, he's like, I'm going to go to war. And Congress is like, we don't want that. And you didn't ask us. He's like, I'm doing it. That you don't just go over there. I mean, if you saw your child do that, you know what I mean? It's like, I'm going to stick my hand in the birthday cake. It's like, don't do that. We're saving that for later for the birthday party. I'm doing it. You would beat their ass. You know what I mean? Even if the... Okay, maybe you wouldn't. Maybe you'd put him in timeout. I know I would give him a good swat for it, though. You know what I mean? You're not going to kill him, but you're like, hey, man, look, Pop, I told you no. Hey, your ass is going to be sore for a little while, but you're going to not do that shit again. At the very least, if you do it again, you're going to be thinking real hard about it beforehand. You know what I mean? You're like, last time I did this, this didn't work out so great. Imagine if every time he did something stupid, he had to spend like, you know, 6 months in prison. I mean, he wouldn't have made it past the first two prison terms. But see, that's the thing. It's like, we don't have that kind of accountability for the president, and giving them that kind of blanket immunity is a dangerous and stupid process. It's a stupid procedure to have. You just get to get away with shit. And like all this Epstein stuff, he wasn't president then. They should have been locked his ass up. When he got those 34 felonies, that should have been the end. That should have been the end of that. It should have been over well before then. But them 34 felonies should have put a pin on a real last good hard nail in that coffin. All 34 of them nails should have counted. It's just crazy. It feels like we need, like, this administration feels like. It feels like when you see somebody's marriage fail. You know what I mean? Like, they're making no effort to even hide what they're doing. They're very clearly showing you they don't give a fuck. You know what I mean? At every step along the way. It's like, it's one of those things where it's like, if you watch like a movie or TV, or if you know somebody, like, you know, your parents went through a divorce, or maybe you know, somebody in your family went through a divorce, or, you know, unfortunately, some of us have gone through it too. But you notice the signs, you know what I mean? Like, one, they're doing shit without even bothering to talk to you about it. Like, they'll just show up one day and be like, oh, I did this. What the fuck? Were you going to tell me? Well, I'm telling you now. It doesn't mean shit now. Because you were going to do it. You didn't bother to consult me at all. You're just going to do whatever the fuck you want. All right, well, if that's the case. You know what I mean? Or they hide shit from you. See, we're even past that point right now. They're not even really hiding anything because we know what's happening. You know what I mean? Bro, that'd be like, it's like those dumbass movies where somebody's trying to, like, you know, they catch the spouses, you know, cheating on them, and they're in their own bed. They try to put the person behind the door or under the bed, just hide them. It's like, I can see their feet and their clothes are everywhere. You know what I mean? Like, what are we doing here? They're not even really trying to hide that. They're basically just walking them out the front door as you're on your way in. Like, see you later. What do you want? Like, who the fuck was that? Don't worry about that. You're like, are you for real? That's what they're doing to us right now. It's either that, like, it's directly in our face, we don't give a fuck, or it's such a bad and ineffective lie that it just feels like, you just really don't respect me at all, do you? You know? It's just like, here's the worst part, because it's a real thing that happens. You know, we're talking about, like, you know, the lies are talking about, like, this is not about regime change. It's certainly not about oil. It's about nuclear strikes. It's not about the Epstein files at all. Yeah. We see the clothes on the bed. You know what I mean? The reflection is in the mirror. They're right behind that door. I know they're here. That's what's going on there. The worst part about it is when they do stuff to actively show you that they don't give a fuck. Oh, what are we talking about, Link? What could you possibly mean? I don't know. Maybe it was trying to repeal birthright citizenship, overthrowing Roe versus Wade, these new laws that are popping up all over the place about disenfranchising trans people, like in Kansas, where they're making sure that they're making sure that trans people have to turn in their licenses so they can't have legal identification because it's not their sex that they were assigned at birth. What else have we got? Oh, Medicare and Medicaid. Remember that? Those cuts to Medicare and Medicaid. That's another one where they show you directly to your face. They don't give a fuck about you. Oh God, maybe it was the dais full of tech oligarchs at his inauguration, which looked like a coronation. You know, just various things that you see that are very clear examples that I don't give a fuck about you and you don't matter. You know, like, it's so obvious and in your face. It's like, you could just tell me you don't care. And the funny thing about it is they are, you know. It's like, damn, that's because you've seen those movies, right? Where the couple does shit despite each other. I forget which one it was. There's something I watched a clip of. I never saw the movie. I think it was Billy Bob Thornton or whatever. And he had won like a he had won the lottery or something like that. Him and his wife were getting divorced. And she would just come to his shop just to fuck with him. And he just let it go. He's like, whatever, we're getting a divorce and I got $1 million. I don't have to worry about this shit anymore. Like, you could tell, like, it has that kind of stink on it, you know? Where I'm not even going to make an effort. I'm not going to try. I'm not going to put any effort into this at all. Or even into one, mending it. We're not going to try to fix that at all. They've shown us very much they don't care. Or two, they're going to just go out of their way to do as much egregious shit as they can till you just get fed up and just throw your hands up and resign yourself to it. That's a bad place to be. And I think that's where the American people are now. But the problem when it happens with a couple or whatever, they can go to mediation. They can get a divorce. You know what I mean? Worst case scenario, they end up being a fucking documentary series. What happens with the government, like, you know, they get the guillotines out. You know what I mean? They get the nooses out. You know, Mike Pence can ask Mike Pence about how that goes. And I just feel like that's where we're heading. It's very scary. You know, like the thing they said, oh, we have three choices to lead Iran after we, you know, help move in there. And it's not about regime change, but we have to remove the Ayatollah and see if we can install that's a regime change, you fucknut. Then they go, oopsie, we killed all of the choices. Oh, well, I guess we'll have to find someone else to rule Iran. Maybe somebody we picked. But also the arrogance to just be like, I can fuck things up as bad as I want. And what are you going to do about it? What is anybody going to do about it? And the unmitigated gall that they have to decide that they're going to install. Again, we did this with Saddam Hussein. It didn't work then. It won't work now. The United States government trained and installed Saddam Hussein. We trained Osama bin Laden in counterinsurgency tactics, and then we're surprised when they use the shit against us. What do you think is going to happen here? These buffoons, man, they don't know shit. But, I mean, that's just, you know, you could tell they don't have no love for us, though. It's real easy. Trump's cabinet should have just kept the goddamn doors closed. If we had never known who any of these people were, it would have been way easier. I don't know, man. And maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's what it is with the money thing, you know? Like, he doesn't really give a fuck about actually being truly adored. He just wants to feel that, like, that little rush, you know what I mean? Like, that, like ooh, yeah, this feels good for a minute. It's like going to a strip, like, it's got to be like what going to a strip club is like. You know what I mean? Like, I know this, I know that, you know, desire is only dancing in front of me because I have a handful of 20s right now. She doesn't really love me. But it feels good for these 5-10 minutes while I'm sitting here. You know what I mean? And this next couple of bourbons. This is all I needed. Maybe that's what it is for him. You know what I mean? I don't know. I would never know. I've been to one strip club in my entire fucking life and I hated all of it. Maybe it's just because I just didn't feel like, I mean, I just, that's not my kind of thing in the first place. But that kind of, I don't know what you call it. That kind of, not satisfaction, but like validation, I guess. That kind of validation just, I know it's hollow and empty, so it doesn't do anything for me. But maybe that's because he's so hollow and empty, that's why it works. All I know is when I see those little platitudes and stuff like, that would make me angrier. You know? Like, that's why I couldn't go to a strip club. I'm like, I know you don't care. I know you don't care. Like, if I'm going here, I'm literally just here just to, I'm here to look. I'd probably be there more for, like, the drink specials, to be honest. But, like, I think that that's, like, that strip club mentality of, like, you know, the guy's like, I'm in love with the stripper and they really like me kind of thing. I think that's what he feels when people are handing him money for shit and giving him trophies and whatnot, you know. It's like, oh, they really love me. And maybe it's because he has such adjacent, you know, they're so adjacent to power, they feel like it's going to work out for him. I don't know why they think that. It hasn't worked out for him, really, except for the money he's making. Ooh, that made me think of something. A long time ago, there was this movie. It's called Fatal Fury. I think it's Fatal Fury the movie. It's an anime. And it's an anime about a video game. And so the video game characters are obviously in it. One of them is a guy named Joe Higashi. And he's kind of a playboy, you know. He's in their world, he's a championship fighter, makes a lot of money, has endorsements out the ass. He's like their version of Mike Tyson, but, you know, not biting people's ears off and stuff. He's a Thai kickboxer. And at one point, he's got like all these girls and money and all this shit going on around him. It's like flashy champagne and, you know, photographers and everything. And he's talking to his buddy. His buddy goes, "Money can't buy love, Joe." And Joe goes, "Yeah, but it sure makes it easy to rent sometimes." I remember hearing that fucking line when I was a kid. I was like, I think first time I saw it, I say a kid, I was like in my early 20s or something like that, or like 2023. And I first, somewhere in that range, and I saw that. He's like, "So money can't buy love, Joe." He's like, "Yeah, but it sure makes it easy to rent sometimes." I was like, "Oh my God, who says that?" I was like, "But that's got to be the mentality, though. You know what I mean?" He's like, "Yeah, it can't buy me love. It makes it easy to rent, though. If I throw money and power at these people, it makes it feel like they care about me." Like, how sad is that? But then maybe that's what that is. Like I said, I wouldn't know. But it is a funny line. I mean, it is definitely the way people look at it. But that's the thing, though. Like, if he really gave any shit about the American people, it's an action thing. Love is a verb. It's a thing that you do. You know what I mean? And you can tell, like, when the love is gone for, like, for a politician, like, there's no joy in what they're doing. The way that they conduct themselves shows it. It's no different than anybody else or anything else. You ever seen somebody who's at their job and you could tell they could not possibly give a fuck less if they got fired right there on the spot? Just the lack of, like gumption or drive or ambition in anything they do. There's a definite, like, kind of attitude. Like, even just, like, the fact that, like, "Oh, I'm sorry, am I bothering you while you're doing your fucking job that you're supposed to be doing?" That kind of attitude always pisses me off. Like, somebody acts like they're exasperated because you're, you know, "Oh, I'm sorry. Was my, you know, like, you say, was my asking too much of you right here?" It's like, "I didn't know that you were not the waiter in this section where you've been standing this whole time, asshole." And a lot of times people get that way because, I mean, either they're disillusioned or they feel taken advantage of, and then they end up taking that on other people. And sometimes people just plain out don't care. Like, they just don't care. They're that self-centered and they're that self-absorbed that they just don't bother to think about anybody but themselves. That's also a really scary thing too, especially in like a servant. And I don't mean like a serf or peasant or anything like that, but someone who's supposed to be serving you, which is what the presidency, you know, politicians are supposed to be doing. And you're working in the government, you're supposed to be in service to the people. Just like, you know, in your relationship, in your friendship, a business partnership, you're supposed to be there for mutual benefit. And when it becomes clear that one or both partners, or however many there are not functioning with the goodwill of the other parties at heart, it can either get real nasty or it can get over real quick. That's one of the things that can happen. Either you go like, "Hey man, I'm not doing this shit no more. I'm out." And leave and bounce, like partnerships dissolve, businesses break up, couples split up. You know what I mean? That happens. And sometimes it's quick and easy. Sometimes it's messy. And that's always terrible. But sometimes they just burn each other to the ground. And I think that's what we're looking at right now. We're looking at a country that's getting ready to burn itself to the ground because it feels like, "You don't care. That means I ain't got it either. You know what I mean? You've made it very clear and obvious to me that none of this means a damn to you. So guess what it don't mean to me either." You're starting to see it, and then the ripples of it have already happened. You know what I mean? We've seen it slowly starting to boil over the last year and a half. The protests in Minnesota are just a small, and I mean small, symptom of a larger underlying problem with the country. And it will come up at some point. It's going to pop. It's going to bubble over. Just telling you, mark your calendars. Remember these words. Remember you were here when you said it. And good news, Joe Biden's a grandpa. He's a great grandpa now. Congratulations to great grandpa Papa Joe. I mean, here's the thing. I know like old dudes are kind of creepy anyway. I really hope I never grow up to be the creepy old dude. If anything, I want to be like I'd rather be the grumpy old dude. You know what I mean? Rather than like, come and sit on Grampy's lap. I'm like, fuck off. Get out of my goddamn workshop. You know what I mean? It's like, I love you, but stay the hell out of here. But yeah, I hope he's good. I hope he gets to live long enough to see the kid grow up a little bit. That would be great. Who knows how many days we got on this earth, right? I'll tell you who don't have a lot of days on this earth. Apple. You can tell this is a recession indicator when Apple's putting out this new thing called the iPhone E. So it's a budget model of their regular cell phone models, and it's starting at $599, which is cheap for an Apple product. But I mean, it's basically like a pared down version of whatever the new one's iPhone 17 now they're up to. Like, you know, not as much processing power, not as much memory, not as much battery life. Yeah, I mean, it's like a budget model. They basically gave you like an iPhone 10. just in a more expensive plastic case. And people are going to buy it because it's iPhone. And, you know, iPhone people are a different kind of people, man. I'm telling you. A lot of people got an iPhone because of, you know, the like, oh, everything reaches everything. And it all is interconnected. And then that became the problem. It's like, it's so interconnected. I can't get myself out. But then I know a lot of people, though, who are just iPhone just because they think it makes them look cool. It doesn't. Everybody's got a similar kind of phone, and most Android phones are actually ahead of iPhone's tech, so calm down. sorry, that was me campaigning, by the way, for either the Nothing phone or Fairphone or, you know, OnePlus. Please hook your boy up with a cell phone, because this thing right here, if I have to look at another Samsung again, I might scream. I'm really over Samsung phones in general. It was a really good thing that popped up today where we were talking about... I forget exactly how it went. You know, actually, let me look at it real quick. I have it saved to my Discord, which I can pull up very quickly and easily. And this is from a Reddit thread, but it was a bunch of like memes about technology. And a guy from Twitter, I guess, at Game with Dave, said they removed CD and DVD drives from devices. They made physical media harder to buy and use. They removed expandable storage from phones. They pushed us into streaming subscriptions. They made always online normal. They made unlimited internet necessary. Then slowly raised the price of everything. Ownership quietly became renting. It feels like that's kind of how we're doing everything now. You know what I mean? Like everything is kind of like on some, well, none of this is really for you. It's just all in service of making sure I have more of everything that you have, so I have more of everything. Because fuck you, that's why. And I think that that's the thing I dislike about most technology companies, but Apple in particular, is that it feels like they just want to have everything, all of everything that you have, so they have all of it. We were talking about this the other day, too, about like just car manufacturers and how like you can't fix your own car anymore. You know what I mean? You might be able to do a couple little things, but good luck trying to change the oil. Good luck trying to replace, like, if you have a busted stereo or something like that, they have to take the entire dashboard off, because that's a smart design, right? There's so much stuff in it that's highly computerized. That's why cars are so fucking expensive, but nobody can work on them. You know what I mean? You can't do anything to them. I'm going to put a little note to you guys. They've been talking about these K trucks coming back. If you've never seen them, I've talked about them before. KEI, it's a KEI truck. It's a type of truck that was popularized in Japan, like the late, I want to say the late 60s, or like late 70s, somewhere in this between the 70s and 60s and 70s into like the, you know, late 80s. Just these small, nimble, not really like super aggressive, you know, not going to get like a, it's not a racing truck, you know what I mean? It's basically a utility truck. But a lot of people are repurposing them now to be like actual, like, you know, vehicles, like, you know, like a SUV type vehicle or utilitarian type vehicle. You know, you can like, it serves multiple functions. It could be a home. It could be an office. It could be a food truck. It could be this. It could be that. But one of the other things that's really great about them is there's not a lot of crazy tech components in there. So they rely a lot more on the mechanical engineering more than anything else. And I'll put this to you. If you're able to find a car manufacturer that is willing to go back and make a primarily mechanical car. Like, you'll have some technology in it, sure. You know what I mean? You'll have your radio. You know, you might have like a digital readout or whatever like that. But if they can pull away from computerizing so many of the car's internal processes and make it so they're like, hey, man, you can actually fix this shit with a couple of socket wrenches and some elbow grease. You can fix this car yourself if you need to. That company right there is going to be able to write their ticket into the future. I'm willing to bet every dollar I got. Let's say a company, and now it's, let's just, because they seem to be on the bleeding edge of more of that kind of technological advancement. Let's say a company like Daihatsu or Honda or, you know, maybe Kia, you know, one of the kind of known but like not as predominant, you know, foreign brands decides to pop up and be like, hey man, we made this car that you can actually fix yourself. People are going to go nuts for that thing. And they'll be able to actually be like, and it's $80,000 for this one, but you will have this car for the next 25 years because you can fix everything on this bitch yourself. What? Talk about an investment. And then you make the part proprietary. So you gotta give them a little bit of juice, you know, when they put the squeeze on, you gotta get a little bit of juice out of it for yourself. You make all the parts proprietary. So like, sure, I mean, you can use a different kind of socket wrench to put this thing on here, but it's gotta be this particular bolt because it's threaded this way. Shit, they got us again. But at least then you're like, hey man, I got you in here for life, but I'm gonna take care of you for life. That'd be the way I would do the evil billionaire thing. I'm going to keep you locked into my ecosystem, but whatever I'm doing, you'll be able to do this forever. You know what I mean? I'll keep making these bolts as long as you have this car. that'd be the way I would run it. Anyway, we got off track when I was talking about Apple. I meant to talk about some gaming stuff. And then I forgot what it was. Oh. I saw this game recently. It's been about a year or so now, easily, called Replaced. Now, I don't know a lot about the game. I didn't look into it too much on purpose. One of the reasons I didn't was because the visual styling of this game is so incredibly delicious to look at. I kind of want to play it no matter what it is. For those of you who might be curious, I will drop a trailer in the description of the podcast. So if you want to check the description, the notes, drop on in there and you can check out the trailer for Replaced. Much like I did with Kaiju Big Battle Phyto Fantasy, I'm going to see if I can push for a review key for this. If I get a review key for this, would you guys want to see that coming up soon? I'd love to hear what you guys think about that. You know you can hit me up on Patreon. Patreon.com/WanderingOneStudios. Let me know what you think. And if you want to see more of that kind of stuff on the stream, that'd be great. I'd like your input on this or anything I've talked about today. But yeah, it looks really cool. And this is not to be confused with the game Redacted, which is also what they've done to the Epstein files. Hey, but this game Redacted looks pretty cool too. It has a very different visual style. It's more of like a cel-shaded, I guess the best way to put it would probably be like a top-down, almost like a three-quarters isometric view of Darkest Dungeon. Heavily dark cell shading, flashy, colorful explosions, high-paced kinetic energy, like action thing going on. It's crazy. You're basically playing as a warden at this intergalactic prison or space prison. There's an outbreak at the prison, some kind of viral alien parasite kind of thing. And you have to try to get off the prison colony. But because of this outbreak, things have gone crazy and the prisoners are loose. So now the inmates are essentially running the asylum. And you have to like kind of fight your way through the prisoners to get to a safe pod so you can get off the planet. Or off the little space colony prison thing. I'm interested in that one as well, but Replaced, I'm pretty sure I might be able to get a key for that. If I get a key for that, that'd be dope. And also, if the studio's out there listening, I'm definitely going to make content of that. Yeah, I don't know that they're on, Blue Sky, probably, like everything else. Nobody's really on Blue Sky, honestly. It's really kind of depressing. that a lot of studios haven't taken advantage of it. But it's published by Thunderful Publishing and developed by Sad Cat Studios. Like I said, the link is going to be in the channel description. So please give that a look. The release date isn't been the trailer, I think, it says it's supposed to come out this month. But the official release date looks like it's been pushed back to the 14th of April. Makes me wonder if they're maybe doing some playtesting and polishing, which may be the reason why they've offered up a key for this. And I'm hoping I get cleared for it. I would really like to check this out. It's a 2.5D kind of look. So this game replaced actually kind of will remind you, some of you, of a game like Octopath Traveler or Triangle Strategy, which are also games that I love. And I want to go back to playing more of those when I come back to streaming. But yeah, there's a whole, like, I mean, the vibe of it is very, I mean, it's got that look, but it's got this vibe of like cyberpunk feel, you know what I mean? Blade Runner kind of thing going on. It looks pretty dope. Yeah, I'm really hoping I get a key for that, because that looks badass. And I've been playing a lot more Ball X Pit. And the fun thing about, like, now actually playing some games, just, I mean, doing the artwork and stuff that I'm doing is great. But one of the things I've told you before, like, one, I hate being locked up in the house. It drives me crazy and makes me nuts. I feel like I haven't gone anywhere or done anything. And I used to go and do stuff quite a bit back in the day. And I need to get back to doing that. Like, hey, man, even if I just take, like, a day trip to go somewhere, I'm just going to go see some new shit. But I think also playing some games occasionally too, like, you know, getting out of the house is great, but actually sitting down and playing games just for the fun of it, as opposed to just streaming, I kind of forgot what that was like. You know what I mean? Like, I'm looking down at my, like, stack of shame right here. I mean, I've got Gears of War 5, Gears of War 4, which I never finished. Of course, I didn't finish Gears of War 5 because I'm playing them in order. And then I looked down and I saw Final Fantasy X and then the X2 HD remaster for my Xbox. And I'm like, what? No wonder I didn't buy it on digital. I had a hard copy right here. So my buddy Kevin WK, shout outs to him, twitch.tv/KevinWK. That's my homie, my brother from another mother, was actually asking me, he's like, hey, are you coming back to streaming? Because he recently started going back to streaming. I'm like, yeah, dog, I'll be back next week. He's like, word. I'm like, so I'm excited to go and get into streaming again. But it has been fun to just play games just for the hell of it. And it's also given me some ideas as I've been playing just for fun every now and again. Like, some of the ideas I've had for my artwork have actually popped up and bubbled up a little bit more, you know? And I should just do that a little bit more often. Like, maybe, like, once a week. I don't know. Like, find a place, put a pin on the map somewhere, and just drive out there to go just see what's up, you know? I haven't been to the beaches in a long time. Might not be a bad idea to swing out to the beach. And that's a free trip right there. You know, well, it's not free because it's gas and time, but I don't have to do nothing. I can just go to the beach and just stand out there. That'd be good enough for me sometimes, is just to be out doing stuff. Just and even, doing nothing, even. Just being out, you know? I'm going to have to do some more of that. And definitely more gaming for fun. Because that's what it should be for, right, kids? I also picked up a game recently because it was on sale for cheap 99. I picked up War Tile. I should mention that. I haven't gotten to that one yet. I found another one for super, super cheap. And I'm just trying to remember. Let me just try to remember the name. It's not Condemned, because that's a different game entirely. Well, there's actually two. They're pretty cheap. One is XCOM 2, which, if you've never played XCOM or even heard of it, it's another strategy-based, you know, game where you're basically serving as this special operations command that's fighting an alien invasion. It's kind of like, you know, again, very much like in the vein of like a tactics game like Final Fantasy, The Evilese Chronicles, or Tactics Ogre. You units go on the board, you have turns, 8 action points to expend to do certain stuff. Rinse, repeat, beat the bad guys, Gears of War tactics, anything tactics, you got it. It's the same kind of thing. But this other one is called Conscript. Now, this game was actually kind of a surprise, because I had a little bit of those Microsoft reward points, which I'm not getting nearly as many because I'm not giving them any money for fucking Game Pass. But this only came out to about $8. And they had like the deluxe edition of this. I think it was originally like $35. So this is a steal. But it is essentially a top-down isometric horror game, except there's no supernatural stuff or monsters. It's just war. It should be, you know, like it should kind of function like a first-person shooter, but it has such a bizarre, like, pixel graphic look to it. And it's supposedly pretty scary, but it's like there's no monsters. It's like the scary thing about it is it's all just people. It's just the horrors of war. And it's a conscript, like a French conscript into the military during World War I. And who would have thought that'd be a horrifying, I mean, outside of the fact that it is war. But you wouldn't think of that as a necessarily horror scenario. That's not usually what you get. But it looks pretty dope. And it was super cheap. So I'm like, you know what? Screw it. I don't do enough for myself sometimes. You know what I mean? I'm going to buy myself the flowers. I'm not waiting for anybody else to get them for me. I'll get this shit myself. So I'm going to try that one sometime in the next month or so of streaming. So if you want to, you know where to check me out. I mentioned it all at the top of the order. And you'll see it in the description. I'm not going to beat you over the head with it. Yeah, the one thing I did want to say, though, is that we have got to start calling out, like, again, Apple is one of them. We have got to start calling out subpar products that do top-tier marketing. It's crazy because some of the marketing is really good and some of the way that they kind of zing you with it is awesome, but the product ends up being butt. First of all, every delivery service. We're going to go with that. I've had that conversation multiple times on the podcast and with other people. Last night I was going to order some cider because I didn't want to have to get up and try to drive because I had a couple already, but I wanted some more. Yeah, no one sells cider, one, in a can, the kind I like, which I get in a can, but for some reason they never seem to carry it when I go to get it online. Anyway, a single 12-pack was going to be like $40. I'm like, you're out of your fucking mind. There's no way. Matter of fact, one of them, because of the delivery fees, was going to be almost $50. And I'm like, I would hurt myself if I went and paid $50 for a 12-pack of cider, but I would rather just drink bathtub gin. Do you know what I mean? Like, fuck that. Every delivery service does this, though. We got to stop using them and just maybe better planning is required. You know, get your ass in your car, you know, hop on the bus, hop on the train, get a friend to take you down and go and buy shit in person. And stop using delivery services, please, for the love of God. I'm so over it. I'm so over it. If I don't have to order something from someplace, I won't. Just put it that way. There's only a handful of places I would even bother ordering from, and I'll mention them in just a minute. The other one is Dollar Shave Club. They think they're slick, but they're not. Their razors actually have become severely degraded in quality. The last time I got a pack of them, you'll notice it. If you've had Dollar Shave Club before, they had these blue moisturizing strips that go on the front edge right near the trimmer blade. Kind of keeps your skin from getting ripped apart and drying out as much while you're shaving. Well, they put some new orange shit on there, and it comes off in like little chunks and peels. You know what I mean? It's like if you try, it's like it feels, you know what it looks like? It looks like when you rub an orange, if you rub the orange with like the teeth of a butter knife and that flaky shit comes off of the, you know, after you peeled it off, the little white rind kind of stuff comes off. It's what it looks like on your skin, but it's orange. It's so gross. And the blades aren't as good. So I've carved myself up a couple times trying to use these blades, which means that in order to get a good shave, I have to take twice as long, which is not efficient. And it doesn't make me want to buy their stuff. So I cut them off months ago. I'm done. I ran the last of their razors out. And now I'm going to have to, I guess, go back to Gillette or Harry's. Ugh. Although Harry's wasn't really great either. And here's another one. Manscaped. Now, I bought one of their, like, Manscaped 3.0 lawnmower trimmers, right? Because I'm a pretty fuzzy guy. So I'm trying to make sure I keep, like, you know, you don't want them, like, weird ear hairs or nose hairs or whatever growing out. You don't want your mustache looking all funky and weird. So I get this trimmer to try to keep things nice and under control. Let's keep it polite, right? This is the worst thing I've ever... This is the worst personal grooming product I've ever spent money on. It's absolutely useless. It gets, like, next to nothing accomplished. It gums up all the time. And it takes, like, hours for this thing to charge back up to be useful at all. Absolutely subpar product. Great marketing, though. Great marketing. Because they did a commercial where they showed a guy shaving or whatever, and he was trying to like send a message to somebody, and he ended up accidentally picking up his phone and taking a picture of himself while he is like, I guess at either while he was shaving or like just before he finished shaving. And someone's like, the it sent it to some girl and she's like, cute face. And then it kind of fast forwards from there. It's like fast forwards through their life of like, you know, them going on their dates, them seeing, going traveling, getting married, having kids, growing old together, her passing away. And he's sitting there with the urn of his wife's ashes. And as he's standing there, he goes into like one of the rooms. I think he's in the living room for some reason. I don't know why this kid's doing this. This is, I guess it's his grandson is taking a picture of his balls. And Manscaped says, Justice, take a picture of your face instead. I was like, that's great. That's great marketing. It's a terrible product, so they have to have good marketing teams. Do you guys have a product like that that has like either you've been burned by or has infiltrated your life and you haven't figured out a way to get rid of them, but that you got into it because they had great marketing and then you got stuck? Feel free to let me know. I'd love to hear an email about that. Yeah, because that commercial I saw today, and it really bothered me, but at the same time, it bothered me because it was clever marketing for a really bad product. Like Manscaped is a terrible, terrible brand. Go Braun. Braun. The Braun personal trimmers are actually way better. Even if it does require a battery and the charged ones aren't as sturdy all the time. Yeah, that or Wahl, WHAL. They're way superior products. Trust me. Yeah, that's it. I think that's going to do it. It's a little bit longer than usual, but I had a lot to say today. I'm glad you guys stuck around to listen. I also had a bowl of pasta for breakfast today, so I think I'm kind of carb-loaded at the beginning of the day. So I got a little bit more energy than I usually would at this time of the morning. Technically it's about 1 o'clock now, but I was kind of up and at them early. So we're going to keep it hopping and popping, baby. Check you guys out again soon. Thank you again for listening. This has been a Wandering One podcast. I've been Link Flores. You guys have been dope as always. And I'll see you guys a little further down the road. Peace.